Hello everyone, you're with Corinne Rayson from The Crew Coach on the Wellbeing Project. And today I have Eugenia with us. And Eugenia is going to share her story. And it's very, very interesting because she was in a completely different career than what she is in now. And her current career, I am so intrigued and fascinated by it. And I'm sure the listeners will be too. So welcome, Eugenia. Lovely to have you here.
Hi, Corinne. Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. My pleasure. So I know that with some of our crew members, they're thinking about transitioning out of the industry into a new career. And it can be very scary, overwhelming. I'm sure you've experienced some of these feelings. And then to take the risk into the unknown can be very, very challenging. So what made you make that choice to leap into the unknown? And yeah, what was going on for you at the time where you realized maybe this is not where I'm getting my career fulfillment from?
Well, I have to tell you that I was in that position for about 3 years where I couldn't decide myself. And at some point, everybody was telling me that I am crazy, living such a good career, such a good company, such good benefits. How dare I? Everybody would love to have that kind of life. And how can I dare to live that kind of life to go who knows where? And so what happened at first was I actually gave my career a second opportunity. I quit that job in a great company to go to a different company. I'm actually a computer engineer. So I went from being software engineer to being in a help desk in a different country. So I downgraded myself, but I thought that this would give me more human contact and that I would be happier. Well, that was not the case. So what I wanted to do back then when I quit that first job was to travel the world. And for that second job, that was my intention too. Okay, I quit everything. I know now for sure that this is not what I want, regardless which position, greater or not so good, whatever it is, I don't like this career. I knew it already from day one of university, but still I kept going. And just I had enough and I didn't care what anybody said. It's true that I was super afraid. What would be of me if I leave this career? This is the only thing I know for 17 years of my life. And many people say, I have already given so much of my time to this career. I cannot leave it right now. But then I think, yeah, you have given so much, but you still have many more years on your future to go. So do you really want to foresee yourself for 20, 30 years of your life doing the same thing? For me, that was a big no, so better sooner than later. And yes, I was very afraid, as I said, of the unknown, of what people around me would say, because they were already labeling me as crazy. And yeah, well, what can I say? The dream was to rediscover myself while traveling, but then this was 3 months before COVID hit, and I'm still where I was.
Oh, no. So then how did you discover this new career pathway?
Well, because I quit just before, not to come back after the Christmas holiday. So I spent the Christmas holiday back at my parents. And when I came back to my home, just 4 days after being here, I don't know how open I can be about this here with your crew. Let's say spirit knocked at my door. So I really, what I believe what happened is that I decided to step into that fear of the unknown without caring about anything, just really that first step into my soul path. And spirit came to say, hey, we're here. And mind you, I've been atheist all my life. I didn't do my first communion or anything because I didn't believe, even if I was raised, my family is Catholic. So that was a big shock for me. Really, really shock for me. I was very afraid. I couldn't sleep in 5 days. That time my partner was on vacation. And I really couldn't sleep in 5 days. I was so afraid of closing my eyes. So I started researching what was happening, what was going on. I started researching, going deep into scriptures, into anything that I could put my hands on, until I understood what was happening. I came into neuroscience and epigenetics, and this is what I'm doing right now, basically. Okay.
So neuroscience, did you study that specifically?
Well, I understood what energy was.
Yeah.
There's nothing woo-woo behind spirit, spiritual things or witchcraft or anything like that. It's just using the energy around us. And I understood that everything is energy. Even us, material bodies, we are energy also. Making that this material body. So I really needed that kind of engineering mind, needed that explanation of what was going on to really surrender into what was happening in my world, because it was really, really frightening.
What was so frightening? Why were we talking about that? What was so frightening about it? Just the form in which it came, like what? I mean, because it's very unique, very different. So, yeah, are you able to share that experience?
Well, this one day, so as I said, my partner was on holidays, but he just went on holidays the day after this happened. So that first night, my partner is Muslim. So we were having a discussion, as many other times as we had, why I didn't believe in God. And in this instance, I took a Quran that I gave him this Christmas, just 10 days before, that it was a translation from Spanish and Spanish, from Spanish to Arabic. And so I took that Quran and I was hoping to open wherever I say, you will be punished, you will burn in hell if you do whatever. And instead of that, what I read the first, my finger landed into he who created the planet or whatever is the Lord of the universe. So I believe in the universe. Back then I was believing in the universe. And having the universe telling me that there is a Lord of the universe, it really shocked my world. So I had to believe either there is a Lord of the universe or this was a coincidence, or I don't believe in the universe. And I chose to believe that there is a God. And then I started asking more questions to the Quran. Like, so are you telling me that Buddhists are wrong, for example? Are you telling me, I don't know, I came up with a lot of questions and all of them were answered in that way. People might say that these are all coincidences. People might say that I am making up the link between the question and the answer. But I really believe that they were full on my reply. And well, my partner thought it too. We were laughing, and I was afraid. As I tell you, like, what's going on? There's somebody here with us, a ghost, or what is it? And yeah, well, this is what happened. Even at the end, I was journaling everything. At the time, I was a member of Toastmasters. I don't know if you know what that is.
Member of?
Toastmasters.
Oh, Toastmasters, yes.
Yes. Learning how to speak publicly, basically.
Yeah.
For those who don't know. And I was telling my partner, I have to write all of this down so that I don't forget. This will make for a wonderful speech. Uh-huh. And at that moment, I put the Quran and I forgot the last verse. And I asked him, and instead of him telling me chapter verse, he told me verse chapter. Weird thing to tell me that I'm so wrong. But he told me the verse, I went to the chapter, and the first thing I did is let them know that he who created the earth is the Lord of the universe. Again, when I was thinking of making a speech, let them know that he who created is the Lord of the universe. So for me, it was all rounded up. And well, I started believing.
My goodness.
And since then, I have this journey of learning about energy.
Yeah.
And this, I'm also a very rational person, so I needed to understand and knowing everything that is behind that, all our thoughts and our emotions are building our reality. That we are the creators of our lives, so we have that God-like feature, gift inside of us. This has been truly life-changing for me. Knowing that our thoughts and our emotions our thoughts and our emotions can change the reality that we see.
Correct.
Can mold what we see, can mold our reality. If we see things negatively or positively, it's not just what the self-love gurus say, right? It's just a real change. You really see your life changing because what we have inside is what we have outside. And what I say is that we have that God-like gift inside of us that makes us be the creator of our life. So yes, we have to step into fear, but what is waiting for us behind that fear is pure love and pure bliss and peace and anything that you want to experience.
Yeah, beautiful. So you specialize working with children. So what made you decide to work with children or help parents deal with the emotions of children?
They are our future.
Yeah.
And so our belief system is built from the age, well, from the age, until the age of 7, let's say. So some people believe
it is from the moment of birth. Other people believe that it is from the third trimester of pregnancy. Other people also believe that it is from the moment of conception. Me, I believe it is from the moment of conception. So really having that awareness, bringing parents that awareness that our beliefs influence our children and we can really mold them in a way that they will not be fearful, in a way that they will already have an empowering belief system instead of the disempowering belief system that we have. And then as adults, we have to go through healing and through self-development, whatever it is that you're going through. We all know that feeling the fear and doing it anyways is very difficult. So if we can give them this empowering belief system until the age of 7, I can just imagine the world that we will have ahead of us. I will probably not be there to see it, but planting that seed, I'm doing it right now with my kid. He's just 3 months old. And I have realized so many things, really. For example, me and my brother have always thought that my mom is annoying. And just when the baby was about 1 month old, I was kissing him everywhere, right? I was filling him with kisses everywhere. And I was like, ah, oh, mommy's so annoying, right? And I was like, what? No! Mommy's not annoying. And probably my mom did the same, and that's why we believe that she is annoying.
Yeah, okay.
So just I wanted to show him my love by kissing him, and then I say mommy is annoying. Well, there's a complete misalignment there, and we do this all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
Even when we tell babies, you're so, I don't know what you say in English, you're so beautiful, pretty, handsome, I don't know, so cute. And then you attach next to it, I love you so much. When you grow up, what do you think the baby is going to, or that adult is going to feel? He's going to see himself or herself in the mirror, and they will see a person that is not under his eyes or her eyes, beautiful. So immediately the feeling of I am not lovable.
Okay.
Because we have attached, "You're so cute" with "I love you so much." Do you see where I'm going from?
Yes, yes. With my background in counseling, I know exactly what you're talking about. So how would you reframe that statement then?
I would completely avoid the "I love you so much" after "you're so cute," or avoid the "you're so cute" and just say "I love you so much." So there's no problem on believing you're cute, you're handsome, you're pretty, you're beautiful, because you are. As the human being that you are, you are. Mm. But attaching those two sentences together, I believe it's a problem. You can say "I love you" because I love you, period. Unconditional love, "I love you." And "you're such a good boy, such a good girl," because this and that, I really don't see it that way. And I'm currently here, my parents came home, and they have been with me 3 months now since the baby was born. And I've had the conversations with them, because obviously they do this a lot. They are not aware of it. I am, the moment I say it or the moment I have the thought, I am aware of it, but they don't. So I've been having these conversations a lot lately.
How are they responding to it?
They think that I exaggerate. They don't see the link. And maybe I am. I don't know. But I really believe that it has an impact on us. I even see when he starts... Sorry?
No, I didn't say anything. Just crying. Okay. Yeah.
I had some echo. When he starts crying, and my first instinct is maybe he is hungry. So what am I doing there? I am attaching a feeling to hunger. That's not good. And then when we are old, we have that nudge of, "Oh, I'm bored. I am procrastinating. I don't want to do this job. Let's go eat something." Or that ice cream, that chocolate cake when we break up with our partner. Maybe this all comes from this moment. Moms are attaching that first nudge of feeding the baby when they cry. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is just my theory.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had a baby yet, but with babies, when they cry, aren't they either looking for food, comfort, they tired or uncomfortable, and obviously they don't have the words to communicate, but that's their way of communication, and they have very, very basic needs at that stage. So if you attend to, and in psychology there's different attachment styles, like secure attachment, avoidant attachment, etc. So what do you do when your son cries? Like, how do you make sense of it then?
Because I got this thought that I am attaching hunger to a feeling, I started researching about this. And apparently, you can hear the different
cries.
The different cries. So there's a website that it explains a bit how the cryings are, how they start. Well, I got that and I started listening to the baby, and it's true. They have 4 or 5 different kinds of cries. Wow. So now I am able to understand.
It's so, so interesting. With regards to how you serve your clients, what does that look like? Why do people come to you? And what are they looking for help for?
Well, if I'm honest, my business has just shifted into babies. Before, it was just all about women, helping women step into their power, follow their dreams, really healing whatever wounds they had inside. So they were coming to me precisely they didn't know that it was all about changing the thoughts, changing the emotions. They were just coming because they were feeling either burnout at work, or they knew there was something better for them, or even with relationship issues. And from them, because this is where I started, my self-development journey started because of relationship with men. I always say that men are my biggest teachers.
Okay. So in terms of, because you provided so much interesting information, it's a little bit overwhelming, but if someone wanted to learn more or do research, do you have any tools or books that you would recommend so that they can start reflecting on perhaps their limiting beliefs and how their thoughts are impacting how they feel and how they behave?
Bruce Lipton. Bruce Lipton, he is a immunologist, biologist, PhD. And he shifted from the traditional biology into the quantum
physics.
Biology. Mm-hmm. Quantum physics, yeah, but biology for him. So he turned into epigenetics. I really didn't know what this was a thing, but apparently we, our thoughts and our emotions, we as a human being, we are above our genes. This means that we can change our genes with our thoughts, with our energy, with our emotions. And this is all where breaking the generational pattern comes from, that we have heard a lot about breaking the generational pattern, but it comes all from here. If you break it, it means that you're changing your genes, right? Mm-hmm. And he explains everything. He has a couple of books about belief system, the honeymoon effect, what happens once you change your belief system, the honeymoon effect. And he is all over YouTube. That in regards of biology and then neuroscience, it's Joe Dispenza.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He knows everything about energy, your thoughts, your creating an elevated emotion with your thoughts to manifest whatever you want in your life.
Yeah. So with the work that you've done on yourself, how would you compare yourself to who you are now versus who you were before leaving your career in computer engineering?
I'm a completely different person. Like, even my mom told me during these 3 months that she was here, I don't know exactly when, that I am a completely different person. She doesn't know me anymore. And she thinks that it's my husband who changed everything on me, that I am molding myself to please him. Imagine.
Yeah.
That's how much I changed. Before I was a party girl, I used to get drunk every weekend, gossip all the time, judge everybody. But now it's like there's no even point on doing any of that. It doesn't even cross my mind. Even the way I dress is different.
That's amazing. What does your partner have to say?
Honestly, right now we're in a bit of a loophole.
Yeah.
Because I've changed so much and now I have really found my soul path.
Yeah.
And we're having a bit of trouble there.
Yeah.
Because I know that I don't want to be in this country anymore. I don't know where I want to go, but I know that I don't want to be here. So, yeah.
Thanks for your honesty. Very hard to share that, especially out loud and in a public forum, but I can imagine it must be quite confronting for a loved one to see the change as well without understanding it.
Yeah. Also because, as I said, he is Muslim. So our views on God, even if we both believe in God, they are completely different, right? For me, it's all about unconditional love. Like I cannot, the God that I believe in, it's all about love, love, love. And for him too, but conditional. you know. So that's not what I believe in, and all the things that go behind the dressing and the, I know there's a lot of things behind that. For example, now if we are thinking to go during Ramadan to his country, and then he tells me that he will not show any affection in public because they don't do it. So for me, that's like, wow. So you're going to change your whole personality, because here it's like, you don't care.
Yeah.
How are you going to restrain that? I don't know if I will be able to hold myself, or even if I want.
Yeah. It's very complex cultural nuances and how that can interplay, especially when you come from contrasting backgrounds. Very, very difficult. And in terms of our industry, they live and work together, and they come from various backgrounds, different nationalities, different cultures, and to be able to coexist harmoniously is not easy until you are able to communicate and have empathy, non-judgment, as you mentioned, and understanding.
Oh, but all of this comes when you understand yourself first, I believe. If I don't understand myself, how can I communicate correctly? I don't know what I have to communicate. And then there's all this problem. They don't understand me. I don't feel heard, but maybe there's something within me that needs to be heard before.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you say that, because I have an advanced leadership course that's 3 months long, and it's about self-leadership. So we go through a process of huge self-reflection. You got to look at your belief systems, and you got to dig really deep. And they go, this is so hard. For the first week, someone told me they spent 13 hours on like answering the questions, and there weren't that many questions, but it really challenges you, because I don't think we're used to that space of introspection. But you need to understand yourself first before you can understand others. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes. That's the hardest thing to do. Easy to do a course and tick and flick and read a textbook. And then, you know, as you would know, with all your science background, to regurgitate the practical side of things. But when you've got to synthesize and think about yourself and your own life and apply that learning, it's very, very different.
Yeah. Well, I learned this also the hard way. I didn't know that I was doing a thing when I started all my self-development journey. This was 4 years ago. So in 4 years, I changed my life completely. What can I say? I didn't know I was doing things. I just wanted to sit in introspection in nature.
Mm.
And back then I had another boyfriend, and he was into a PhD in positive psychology. And he was asking me all these questions. Even why is vanilla ice cream your favorite ice cream? I don't know, man.
Oh my gosh.
But because I had this thing in me that I don't want to disappoint my boyfriends. I was going really deep within to see, okay, let's see why I
eat vanilla ice cream. Wow. Gosh, that's really overanalyzing. Yeah, it's so, so interesting, and I think so important to be aware of, whether you are a parent or parent-to-be, it doesn't matter. Like, we need to be aware of our own thoughts and how it can impact numerous relationships in our lives, because it does. It really, really does. So, yeah, self-awareness is key. That's part of emotional intelligence. If you're not self-aware, then you're not going to grow.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more to that.
Mm.
Definitely. And without self-awareness, I wouldn't have this partner, definitely.
Yeah. And it's the same when you mentioned with regards to where you're at with your partner. We can't make, and I know you would know this, we can't make anyone change. You know, they need to be ready and willing. And it's our choice whether we want to walk alongside them or if we want to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing your story. It was so interesting. So if people want to learn more about you, I know you've got a website in development, but I think when this interview is going to be released, it should be live. But do you have a point of contact if people want to ask you questions or any resources, anything like that?
Sure. So I am the founder of the Emotional Freedom Academy. So you can just write me if you will to Eugenia. Eugenia, well, you have it written here, at theemotionalfreedomacademy.com. I also have a couple of trainings of my old business. It's still about self-development, but not geared towards children, but towards women. So if you will, there are 5 disempowering words that you can download. And 9 journaling prompts to create your dream relationship at trainings.theemotionalfreedomacademy.com.
Wow, that's amazing. What fantastic resources. Thank you so much, Eugenia.
Thank you.
Oh, I wish
you
all the very
best. Thank you for
having me. No, my pleasure. Wishing you all the very best. And I'm very excited to have you in the TCC Tribe membership as well, where we're going to look at goal setting and how the mind plays a huge role in achieving your goals. So looking at beliefs, etc.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.